Welcome to Red Alert Radio, grassroots radio with an ear on the issues that matter to you.
Kia ora koutou and welcome to Planet FM, and you're here with Red Alert Radio, and you're with Maria Meredith today. And just before you begin, I just wanted to welcome everyone to the program, and I've decided to interview somebody a little bit different today, though it may be the same in terms of political alignment. But my guest today on the show is Nerissa Henry. Nerissa Henry is currently an elected member of the Maungakeke Tamaki Local Board, as well as a member of the Mount Wellington Licensing Trust. She is a mother of two. She's young, 30 and below. She's Māori, and I've invited her along to the show today just to talk about her own personal experience in terms of local government. But before we get into the questions, Nerissa, I just want to welcome you to the show. And are you there, Nerissa?
Yes, thank you for having me.
Yeah, can you just tell the folks a little bit about yourself, please?
Sure. So as you said, sitting member of the Maungakeke Tamaki Local Board and the Mount Wellington Licensing Trust, mother of two, primary school aged, one 10-year-old, and it's my son's birthday today. He turns eight.
Yes.
Pamua girl, born and raised, and play and work there.
Oh, that's fantastic, Nerissa. Now, Nerissa, how long have you been on the local board and Mount Wellington Licensing Trust?
So I was elected in 2016, so 3 years now, and it's been a great experience, good learning.
Yes, and from what I understand, you're probably one of the youngest Māori females in local government that's actually elected into office. And so how do you feel about having that little title attached to you?
I think in the beginning it was kind of, wow, I thought there would actually have been more than what I knew there was of Māori elected members. So then after that point of the wow, it was kind of like, it's now my obligation to learn more about my Māori side and bring more of that into the way that I do my work, and also bring more people along on the journey as well.
Yes. Well, that's fantastic, Nerissa. Now, just from your own perspective, you know, can you tell listeners, what have you learned from the term that you've been, with the local board and the Mount Wellington Licensing Trust? Maybe you can tell the listeners a little bit more about your roles in each of these organisations.
Sure. So with the Mount Wellington Licensing Trust, I'm one of the trustees/directors of the foundation side. So my job in that space is really to understand all the community organisations and groups within our area. When applications come to these groups, it's about making sure that they're effective and that it's directly contributing to people in our community, which I really love. It's almost like being the, the Santa and being like, yay, this is a really awesome group, give them money.
Yes. I mean, it must be, when you make these kind of decisions, it must be really, you must have a sense of personal satisfaction in terms of being able to help different kinds of communities. So can you tell us what type of communities the licensing trust will normally fund?
We fund all of the local primary schools in our area. Most of our primaries are full primary as well, so it includes the intermediate students. We fund things like all the ICT technology equipment, and we also give them another grant as well, which usually is what the school is needing, for example, an upgrade of the playground,
yes,
or, you know, programs to run within their schools as well. We do a few social service ones as well. And then I think also contributing to the bigger pool of regional organisations, for example, Ronald McDonald Cancer, asthma is a huge one that we fund as well, because we know that a lot of our community suffer from asthma.
Yes.
So really making sure that this money that is for community stays in community and benefits our community.
Yes.
So there's a lot of background research that we have to do as well, and you know, making sure that we know that these organisations are doing what they say they're doing as well.
Yes, that's fantastic. And I imagine these different various organisations must provide a report back on what they spend their money on, etc. So, yeah, that's fantastic. You know, obviously, the Licensing Trust is, you know, playing a role in the community in terms of supporting various you know, initiatives throughout the community, in particular schools and social services. Now, Larissa, can you tell listeners more about your role on the Maungakeke Tamaki Local Board?
Yeah, sure. I actually really love how my two roles complement each other, you know, because I get to be out in the community every day and just whether it's listening to issues or it's, you know, planning for our cool events or things. But the local board stuff has actually been very interesting for me to really learn how council processes work and how you actually get things across the line,
yes,
how you get your outcomes met. And it really is a two-way between community and us working together. And, yeah, at times it's been a struggle, but actually I feel really fulfilled at the end of my days when I know, wow, I've helped this many people today.
It's, yes. Yes.
Almost selfish, but a great feeling that you know that you're just doing right.
Yes, yes, exactly. And, you know, just so listeners are aware that both of us are elected members on that local board, and certainly the things that you do learn is learning about community engagement, learning about the different parts of the community that are all working towards projects such as youth or, you know, there's social services or education. There's so many different things that they focus the energy on. And in particular, the environment is something I wanted to raise with you, Larissa, because that's part of your passion. So can you talk a little bit about, you know, what you're passionate about in terms of the environment?
Oh, absolutely. So it all kind of started 10 years ago now when the first Tamaki Transformation Program was rolling out through the Tamaki community. And we were part of that as Housing New Zealand tenants. And, you know, from there we formed a residents association, which then established the Pamuil Community Garden.
Mm.
And I've always been, you know, my parents always had a garden at home. You know, our neighbours, people around us. And it was just a good way to bring community together.
Mm.
And, you know, just using what we know and the resources and stuff to be very waste mindful. And then, you know, we jumped on board with the Tamaki Wrap stuff that was happening at the time and the waste minimization strategies.
Yes.
And yeah, I think too, being from native indigenous cultures as well. So my dad is Māori American Indian.
Yes.
And my mum is part Cook Island as well. And just using, yeah, just the knowledge of how they used to live and just being very minimalistic in everything.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the environment, anything from the mountain to the water, just protecting it and, you know, just how important trees are and how being out, you know, in the green spaces help with your health and everything. So, yeah, I love that.
Yeah, oh, this sounds really fantastic, Narissa, just in terms of some of the aspirations you have. And it's kind of great to hear from a young elected member, but also somebody young with children and thinking about their future and ways to protect our environment. So, Narissa, just looking at our list of questions here. Now, can you tell us, you know, a good reason why people should vote for you? So for listeners out there, we're currently in the middle of local body elections, and obviously the closing deadline is this coming Saturday, the 12th of October, midday. So maybe just give us a minute or two about why people should consider voting for you in the community.
Wow. I think the greatest thing that I hold is that I am passionate about quite a few different and a range of things, you know, just from sports, environment, women's issues, kids, youth, employment. And it's, you know, it's a great mix to be in something where you know that you're going to help all of those things that you're passionate about.
Yes.
And I also have like hands-on experience in all these different fields as well, with a lot of other different hats that I wear, especially within my own party as well. I'm, you know, but then also because I want my kids to be good too, so they need to see me doing things as well. And
yes,
I actually grew up in service work. You know, I'm born into the Mormon Church and the Latter-day Saints.
Yes.
So for me, all I knew was to give back, to help. I always saw my parents on board of trustees and sports boards and always helping. So, yeah, I just want to be that same reflection for my own kids.
Yeah, oh, that's great. I think it's so important to have positive role models out there in your families, and it sounds like your parents have been such a great influence on you, in particular leading the way in terms of service work and how important that role of the church has played in your life to be able to you know, shape who you are in terms of building character, in terms of helping others out there in the community. So, Narissa, you know, it's school holidays at the moment. Well, what have you been up to today?
Oh, wow. planning my son's birthday. they went to a field trip today with the holiday program, so just making sure that they had cake and the kids had lollies and stuff, and making sure that it was just a good day for him, even though mummy's working.
Yes.
Yeah, well, busy days.
We just want to wish your son a happy birthday for today. You did mention he turned 8 today, and you've also got a young daughter as well.
Yeah, she's 10, going on 16.
Okay, Narissa, moving on to the next part of the interview is I just wanted to kind of get your, you know, your feedback around, you know, across Auckland. We've got so many redevelopments happening in the area in pockets, but it almost seems like we're being besieged by development all around, and in particular in Tāmaki. So could you give us your perspective of, you know, what your predictions are in terms of the redevelopments in our city and probably across the country?
I see the positives of it only because when it first started out, that's pretty much how I got my first start to all this life. You know, I wouldn't have met people if I wasn't part of that residents association, and I wouldn't have had key people in my life to care about my future and stuff, if it wasn't for being part of the redevelopment stuff. But I do understand, and I see, you know, all the hard side of it too, when you hear of families having to move out of an area that they lived in for so long. You know, my family have lived in Pamua for over 70 years, and one of our homes, our homestead, was actually still a Housing New Zealand house, so that's now gone. And then you just think of all the history, all the, you know, events that occurred and stuff. But I do, I support development. We know that it's needed. It's just the way that it's done. I think if, you know, if everyone is just told in advance and kept, you know, on track until they are settled. And then also, how do we welcome these new people in as well? Because we know a lot of these people aren't our old families that have been around the area for a long time. So I think it's balancing up, you know, our past and our present and what will our future look like. And I'm just glad to be a part of that and what that would look like and how to bring community along with it all. I've seen a lot over the 10 years. Seen a lot of pain, seen a lot of hurt, but then I've also seen really good stuff as well. For example, the 30-year education strategy and the Tamaki response to a holistic way of looking at well-being. And, you know, it's not just about the house, it's about everything else as well. So I think there's a lot of work. But I do see the good side.
That's fantastic, because I can, yeah, you know, like yourself, I live out in Glen Innes, so I totally understand and can relate to the issues that people have in terms of the redevelopment and the upheaval in the community and people getting upset. But, you know, looking ahead, if we, you know, look at the future and the investment made into the community, you're going to get newer, bigger, better things that will contribute to the well-being of the community in terms of better community facilities, better parks, more open space, you know, warm, healthier houses, for example. And at the same time, Narissa, I imagine it's the developments are quite exciting, because I mean, for example, if we look at Pamua, there's quite a bit happening there. So can you tell listeners about just some of the plans that are happening out Pamua?
Yeah, so we're undergoing probably two of the, the two biggest projects Pamua has probably seen, which is the Eastern Busway, formerly known as the Amity Project, which is connecting all of the East Auckland side to the Pamua train station, so that there's better connections, you know, faster access into the city for people that need to work out there. And then the other huge development is the Unlock Pamua upgrades to the town centre, which, you know, all the locals know it's needed. Our town centre is looking really run down. We're losing a lot of businesses as well. And I guess it's just, how do we bring our Pamua constituents along on this journey to change when they're not used to change? And, you know, just showing them the bigger picture of, you know, a busway that's going to service us, a nice town centre, some open spaces where, you know, we can possibly bring in new businesses, you know, to revitalise the town centre. I think it's just a lot of mind shift for a lot of people.
I mean, certainly there was a lot of controversy over the famous Pemia roundabout when they removed the sign, which had been there for a very long time. So, any thoughts around that that redevelopment around the famous roundabout that has so many roads that come off it?
Everyone knows I'm pretty upset about the roundabout. You know, when you're growing up in Pemua, you only know Pemua because you see the big sign that says Pemua. It was there for over 25 years, but it was definitely an icon. And I think the painful thing about that was when planners and stuff used that the roundabout was dangerous to kind of get this change where, you know, if you've grown up around there, it's not dangerous for any of us. It was mostly outsiders.
Yes.
there was a lot of controversy about removing that roundabout because there was lots of, overseas examples where actually they're taking out lights.
Yes.
And they're putting in roundabouts. So our community just didn't understand the rationale about why you needed to take our roundabout. Again, that was there for many, many years. Mm. But hopefully the sign comes back. So Auckland Transport has it in storage for 2 years until some scoping goes on about where it could possibly go and if it gets upgraded or if it gets redesigned and repurposed.
Yes.
The community will come along on that journey when it gets to the time because, you know, that sign means a lot to a lot of Pemua people.
Yes.
We had over 100 people turn up for their last photo before it got taken down, which is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
And, lots of media attention. So it's well-loved.
Yes, certainly. Obviously, that Pemua roundabout sign is an icon and part of the community history. So, we look forward to whatever shape and form it will return in the future there, Narissa. Now, Narissa, let's talk about your own goals and aspirations and, you know, maybe we'll talk about what you hope for your children later on, but tell us a little bit about what your goals and aspirations are in the future beyond local government.
That's a hard one. In this last week, it's actually been really playing on my mind, like, what if I don't get in? What am I going to do?
Yes, that's right. We're all unemployed.
Yes. I know.
Yes.
So it's been looking at different jobs. And yes. I think for me too, I don't have any degrees. I'm a two-time uni dropout. I left high school early. Got the two kids, had them pretty young as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually don't have any formal qualifications. And when I was looking at jobs that I thought, actually, I have the skill set. I just don't have the paper to back it up that I have that skill set.
Yes.
And it's been quite difficult to know where my future will lie. But definitely, as long as I'm serving my community,
yes.
I think I will do fine. What that looks like, I wouldn't give up any of my service work either. So I still help out at like the Salvation Armies and other organisations that need my help. And, you know, I'm one never to say no. So I end up helping other people do stuff. So as long as I'm working locally, because that's what I know and that's where my experiences are, that's where my life is.
Yes.
It's a hard one. Maybe ask me after Monday.
Okay. Yes, after the results come in over the weekend.
Yeah.
Now, Narissa, just briefly, just tell us within a minute or so, what are your goals and aspirations or what are your hopes for your children? Obviously, you're paving the pathway now, but just before we wrap up, just can you sum it up briefly?
You know, in this role, you find so many different things that, oh, I want my kid to do this, I want my kid to do that. But actually, I just really want my kids to be kind and caring and loving and just helpful, because, you know, I think there's too many people from one-sidedness where, you know, it's kind of like, oh, you're the expert in this area, you're the expert, but actually just forming relationships with people and being a nice person has actually, you know, the reason why I'm probably where I am today is because I could do that. I could talk to people, you know, always be happy around people. Mm. And I think that's really important for their own well-being.
Yes.
Is that you're just happy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you so much, Narissa. I mean, it's fantastic you ended up on a happy note. So just sort of reflecting over our interview, and thank you so much for sharing a little bit of you and with myself and with the listeners.
Thank you.
But yeah, just to summarize again, Narissa Henry is a current elected local board member for Maungakeke Tamaki, and also sits on the Mount Wellington Licensing Trust. She has two young children who are primary school age. She's born and raised in Pemua, and she got elected to local government back in 2016. So Narissa's talked about what the Licensing Trust does, and she's also talked about her role on the Maungakeke Tamaki local board, and she's talked briefly about why she's standing for the elections, the local body elections, and her passions lie around sports, the environment, women's issues, children, youth and employment. And, you know, she draws her strength from being a role model, modelling herself around the work of the church and her parents in terms of service work and always wanting to help others. But I think the thing that I wanted to point out is we touched on redevelopments, and change is going to happen no matter what. So Narissa's covered what she's done in terms of the development, where they've got the Residents Association, the community gardens, and the issues that her community in Pemua faced, as well as across the area with the upheaval of change. But in the end, the positive outcomes is that, you know, they've got the education strategy and promoting well-being, which is a great way to build a new community. And lastly, she touched on all the new developments that are happening in Pemua in terms of the Eastern Busway, trying to improve the better connections, unlock Pemua, town centre upgrade and open spaces and new businesses. Then she ends by telling us what her hopes and aspirations are for her children, to be good people and be happy and try and influence others.
Thank you.
No, you're so welcome, Narissa. We thank you very much for joining us today. This is Maria Meredith signing off on Planet FM today. Thank you, Narissa, and have a good day with Rico. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Get together next week at 9:05 a.m. or listen online anytime on planetaudio.org.nz/Red Alert Radio.
Never miss your favourite shows again. Click onto planetaudio.org.nz.
Listen to your music's beat. Get off your tuchus and move your feet. Tune in to Radio Shalom, the program with aplomb. Aplomb? What's aplomb? I could use aplomb right now. I'm starving. Listen to Radio Shalom on Sunday mornings at 10 past 10 or online at planetaudio.org.nz/Radio Shalom.
Oi!
The diversity, the cultural diversity, the many languages and the enrichment through all the different cultures, religions, faiths. I think that's fascinating.
I love going for really early